Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be with you folks today and to share with you Shepherds. It's a great ministry of love and compassion for people with intellectual disabilities. As we said in Sunday school, we are looking forward to seeing someone from Grace to come up and visit us as Shepherds. Always appreciate those visitors. Always appreciate you coming and spend a little time seeing the ministry. And I want to encourage you to think about it. Think about seeing the ministry. And it's a great ministry of love and compassion. As Shepherds, we do five aspects to the ministry. Five aspects. We do, we have residential care for people with intellectual disabilities. Provide that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Then we have Shepherds Enterprises. Shepherds Enterprises are vocational training, job opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities. We have contracts with 12 different companies, provide gainful employment for the people and different opportunities. Even in the residential, there's probably half of the people live off campus anymore. They live in the community, different places, and just gives them an opportunity to have that opportunity. You know, at Shepherds, through Shepherds Enterprises and the job opportunities, the people at Shepherds, they love payday too. So give them a little bit of, they love that little gainful employment, a little spending money. Then we have Shepherds College. Shepherds College is a 3-year post-secondary educational institution for people with intellectual disabilities. It's regionally accredited by North Central Accreditation. It's recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. It's the only Christian college of its kind that reaches out solely for people with intellectual disabilities. So we have two majors now, horticulture and culinary arts, and so we're thankful for that. We started 5 years ago with 5 students. We have over 60 now, and we anticipate here in the next few years get up to about 100 and 120 students. And so we're excited about the college. They are not residents. They're just students. They come for 3 years, and they leave the campus and go out back to their own community or find a job and move on. In 2015, 2016, we will add a new major. It'll be for people in the autism spectrum. And Asperger's, it will be for people in that spectrum. And we will offer informational technology program for them. Just for people with autism and focused in there. The college today reaches out to people with IQ of 55 to 70. 75% of the people in the United States with intellectual disabilities are in that range, 55 to 70. But the one towards autism will not be determined by IQ, because a lot of people with autism have really quite high IQs. They just have social skills and different difficulties they have in communicating, and we want to reach out to that group. We also have Camp Discovery. Camp Discovery is for junior high school kids. Come spend a week with us in the summer and have that opportunity to be there. And then our fifth one that we will start in January 1st, we're hoping January 1st, you know how those things go, but hoping January 1st will be online with Shepherds Resources, an online in-the-cloud service for people who have loved ones, you know, throughout the country, throughout the world, be able to contact us, be in contact with us, get resources, educational material, interact with our people, and just be an online service for people with intellectual disabilities. So great things in the future, great things looking ahead. But right now, I have my good friend, Stephen. And Stephen represents the present and the past, don't you, brother? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And so always appreciate Stephen. Stephen, why don't you just tell him your name and where you're from?
Okay. My name is Stephen Wallace, and I live in Portage, Indiana.
Yeah, Portage, Indiana. Right there, Valparaiso, Portage, Chesterton, right there together, isn't it? Those mm-hmm. little suburbs, they all move in together. But that's great, Stephen. It's great. You get up close, Stephen, you'll see he has his tie on. What is this tie?
Oh, Chicago Bears.
It's a Bears tie. Now, I have to say, this is the first time I've seen him wear it this year, because you always wear it in baseball season. What do you wear every Sunday?
Oh, St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals. He has that on until the Bears start losing, and then he puts on his Bears. Man, what a deal, isn't it? Well, we try, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do.
Yep, you love sure those do. Bears.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well, Stephen, you have some hobbies. You have hobbies when you're around and about in life. What's a couple of hobbies you have?
Okay.
They might be interested in your hobbies.
Okay. Spanish and German.
Yeah, Steve loves languages. Loves Spanish and German. Loves those workbooks, those verbs, those, you know, just loves those things and loves studying that. And we're always buying a new German workbook or something to that. And so it gives him an opportunity to study. You know, sometimes we take long trips and Stephen brings along his CDs. 5 hours of German will drive you nuts, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. He loves doing that, and so that's great. So, Stephen, and there's another hobby you have too, though, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Weather.
Yep, the weather. Loves the weather, loves studying about the weather, has his books on the weather, and any storm you like?
Thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms. Yeah, they're nice, aren't they? Good old thunderstorms and different things like that. So, but not snowstorms. You're not into snowstorms, are you?
Nope.
No. Well, not too many of us are, probably. Well, Steve, you work there at Shepherd's. Which company do you work for?
Andis.
Andis is a company that, if you're familiar with barber equipment, clipper kits. They make barber equipment, Andis. They can make them for human beings, or they make them for pets too, don't they? So you can give a haircut to your husband or your dog. And so it's a great contract we have with Andis. And clipper kits, doing those, putting those together, shipping them out, don't you, brother? So you're a part of that, and it really helps. So, Stephen, when you're traveling around, we like to share a little bit about the Lord and share the gospel. Are you into sharing with us this morning with that, brother? And to share, where would you start if you're going to share the gospel and your testimony?
I have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right. That's a good place to begin, isn't it? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the standard God sets forth in his word and his holiness. But what else does the Bible tell us, Stephen?
God loves me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That is so true. You know, even though we're sinners, God loves each one of us. And how did he show his love for you, Stephen?
Christ died for me. Romans 5:8. For God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, Jesus came and he died in our place as our substitute for our sins, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And just like the song we sang, you know, that verse, just like you said, it does explain this plan of salvation. And when you knew that, what did you do?
I received him, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave ye the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
That's right. When you open up your heart and receive Jesus into your life, what happened?
I am saved. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
That is exactly right. Open up your heart and receive Jesus in your life. Steve always has a little passage of scripture he likes to share with his testimony there in John, in the John 14. So I wondered if you could do that for us this morning.
Brother. All right. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we do not know that whether thou goest, and how shall we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That's right. Praise the Lord, brother. Appreciate you sharing that. And Steve's got a song he likes to sing along with the testimony, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do that for us now?
Okay. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate it.
You're the man, Steve.
Yeah. I always appreciate Stephen coming. Well, I appreciate Stephen coming. I appreciate the fellows I travel with. I travel with several different guys, and today was Stephen's turn, and always appreciate him being able to come and share and be a part of the ministry. Always appreciate their kindness. Always appreciate their faithfulness and their trust in the Word of God. Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning. When we're thinking about people with intellectual disabilities and think about people with disabilities, we just want to think about this a little bit in Luke chapter 10, the passage that we read earlier. And Luke chapter 10, let's turn in our Bibles, Luke chapter 10, just take a look at this passage and take a look. We're going to focus in on verse 33 when we take a look at this. In verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, or he pitied him, or he showed mercy. He had compassion on him. We just want to talk about compassion today, talk about the meaning of compassion, being compassionate people, and just taking a look at this. When we're talking about it, you know, Shepherds uses a little code name sometimes, compassionate Christian care for people with intellectual disabilities. Compassion. That's what we want to talk about this morning, just talk a little bit about that. You know, we started as a result of a Sunday school class in a church in Milwaukee several years ago, and there was a class, and they had a class meeting, and they wanted to decide a project to have. And so they got together, this Sunday school class did, and trying to brainstorm and decide what kind of a project they would have and where they could reach out into community and touch people's lives. And one of the people in the Sunday school class had a young son who had intellectual disabilities. And so his father, sort of a meek and mild-mannered person, just sort of ventured and said, you know, I wondered if there's some way that we could just help people and children with intellectual disabilities. Viggo Olson was the president of that Sunday school class and Sunday school teacher. He later became a missionary and wrote the book Dakar. He said, you know, when they thought about that and that request, he said that class was moved with compassion to decide to reach out and touch the lives of people with intellectual disabilities. And at that time, there were no federal mandates for the school systems to provide for people with intellectual disabilities. They were often left abandoned. They were institutionalized. Just not a lot of heart and compassion for people with intellectual disabilities. And it was a big step forward in reaching out and touching those lives. And so when we take a look at this passage of Scripture, we want to think about compassion, as this Samaritan man showed compassion upon this person. First of all, we want to look at the details of this narrative. You know, we see here there was this question of eternal life and who is my neighbor. The lawyer stands up, Jesus answers, and basically this little passage of Scripture deals with who is my neighbor. And so he takes him on this parable about a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And, you know, from Jerusalem to Jericho is 18 miles. And in that 18-mile stretch, the land descends, or the topography, it descends 3,200 feet. 3,200 feet from Jerusalem to Jericho in a span of 18 miles. And, you know, there's a lot of rocky terrain, and it's sort of a rough terrain area, this road, as they descend from Jerusalem to Jericho. So we can see here the action of the robbers. They caught this man. You know, there was a fell among thieves or robbers. They stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So you can just see this. Quite a little adventure story here. A guy going out, getting attacked on the highway, stripped him, beat him up, left him half dead, took all his clothes. Just sort of a pitiful situation. And so we can see, first of all, the reaction of a priest came along. Now, this priest was a descendant of Aaron. They were responsible for the activities of the temple there in Jerusalem, you know, just the responsible people in the community. And we can see that the reaction of the priest in 31, he saw him and he passed on the other side. Boy, you know, just passed on the other side. Then we see, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came, and we see a Levite, he assists the priest in the temple, and he also saw him and went on the other side too. It says he looked on him, and then he went on the other side. And so we see the reaction of the Samaritan. He came where he was, saw him, and he had, difference is obvious, he had compassion on him. Now, he went to him, he bound up his wounds, he poured oil and wine, he put him on his own animal, he brought him to the inn, he took care of him. And so we can see there those details of this little story about a person with compassion. Well, when we want to look at compassion, we can define it. It literally means in the old Greek and Hebrew, in the Greek, being moved or being moved in one's bowels. Now, that's something that wouldn't really attach us with a lot of excitement today in our society, but that's what it means, just being moved in one's bowels. Or we might say it had a gut feeling for the needs of another person, or, you know, being in the depths of his being, moved in the depths of these beings. The Greeks regarded the bowels as the center of violent passion, or such as anger and love, and the Jews regarded bowels as the center of more tender affections, especially kindness and pity. In Western culture, we've transferred that to the heart. We transfer that to the heart. You know, when we say, when we see this man, the Samaritan, we would say, when he saw him and he had compassion upon him, we'd say his heart went out to him. His heart went out to him. He was moved by his heart. He was, this condition broke his heart. You know, just different sayings that we might have regarding his heart. He had pity and mercy. He had concern for this person. It broke his heart, his condition. He was moved. So compassion may be described as pity touched by loving concern. Compassion has a strong emotional coloring. It comes straight from the heart, straight from the heart. You know, compassion expresses emotion. It has feelings. You can just imagine seeing this guy here on the side of the road in the ditch, stripped of his clothes. He's unconscious. He's half dead. And it would excite your emotions or feelings, and it results in action. It's an outworking of feelings and emotion, of pity and mercy in action. So we can see here it's a display of compassion that the Samaritan showed towards this person. Put him on these animals, took him to the inn, took care of him, tried to bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine upon him. But let's just take a look at how Jesus sometimes, what Jesus felt inwardly always led to action when he was moved with compassion. Let's say if we just take our look at our Bibles here, a couple of passages of Scripture. Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. If you take a look there and take a look at this. And we can see here just a verse, Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. And it says, when Jesus is talking about the a person here, and so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Jesus had compassion, giving sight to the blind. Giving sight to the blind. Compassion is the thought. In Mark chapter 1, just take a look at Mark chapter 1. And Mark chapter 1, verse 41, here he is being confronted by a leper. And Jesus, in verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and say, I will, be thou clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion and cleansed the leper and healed him. In Mark chapter 8, just Mark chapter 8, and verse 2, Mark chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, and Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And here Jesus had compassion upon the people, and he fed the hungry at the feeding of the 4,000. And this one last verse here in Luke chapter 7, another one in Luke. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Luke chapter 7, verse 13, and it says, and when the Lord saw her, and the Lord saw her, and he's talking about the widow at Nain, and they were carrying out her son, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not, and he came and touched the briar, and they bare him, stood up, and he said, young man, I said unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus had compassion upon this widow and raised her son, raising the dead. And Jesus shows identification and sensitivity to the human beings in need. Oftentimes we forget this fact that Jesus shows forth love and compassion towards people. He loves people and he reaches out and touches them and has a real sense of sensitivity to human beings in need, because compassion is the outworking of feelings and emotion, of pity and mercy, but he puts it in action and reaches out and touches people. You know, I have a friend from Maryland who comes to Shepherd's quite often, or every so often he comes. He started because he would always bring this youth group out. He worked. He wasn't a staff member in a local church. He's a local church guy, and he would bring the youth group out to Wisconsin, and they'd visit some colleges in the area, and then they'd go out to Iowa, and they'd just visit the college tour, and he'd always have about 14 kids every year he'd come out, and we'd put them up. We have a guest house, and we can house them, and they'd stop every year, and he'd say to me, "Al, sometime I'm going to bring my family out. I'd just love to have you meet my family." And so it was one summer he came out separate from the youth group, and John is his name, and he brought out, and he never mentioned his family. I never had the opportunity to meet him. So I went out to meet his family, and there were two kids and two young adults at this time. They were 18, 17 years old. And they were in wheelchairs, and they were completely, almost physically disabled, but they were also intellectually disabled. Just where John had to care for them, provide for their needs, bathe them, feed them. Two children that he had adopted and brought into his family in this situation. And you can just imagine the care that involved. And he was telling me, you know, my wife and I, when we were younger, we didn't have any children. We wanted some children. We went to an adoption agency and went to an orphanage and visited the orphanage. And we went around and visited the kids. And then we came to these two little kids. And then they were little kids in a wheelchair without capabilities, without any intellectual capabilities, very little. They don't speak. They were physically disabled. And he said, my wife and I looked at each other, and we were moved with compassion for these kids. Who would take them? Who would care for them? Who would love them? And here they were when he introduced them to me. They were 18. The boy was 6'2". He was a big guy. He'd grown into a large fella. And yet he was a precious person to John. He was so proud of his kids. He was moved with compassion when he saw the need that they had, and he wanted to help them. And I have to say that in the years that I've been a shepherd's, and I've been there 21 years now, there are several families that I have had the opportunity to meet who care for people with intellectual disabilities and physically disabled and care for their every need and watch over them. And they just show that love and compassion that oftentimes I feel guilty in their midst, because I don't know if I would have that type of love and being moved with compassion. Well, we can see that there are detriments to compassion. Why didn't the priest stop? Why didn't the priest stop when he came by on the road there? Why didn't he stop? Why didn't the Levite stop? Why didn't they stop and help? You know, sometimes we look at this passage of Scripture, the Good Samaritan. It's probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. And we say, well, surely we would stop and help. But before we get too rough with these people, we have to ask, why wouldn't that priest help? Why wouldn't that Levite stop and help that person? It says the Levite even went over and looked at him. But they kept on moving down the road. Well, first of all, it's in rough terrain. You know, we're in a rocky terrain on the road. The guy's down here. He's been beaten up. He's laid there. He's been stripped of all his clothes. He's in a miserable condition. He's half dead. And you would probably be saying, well, those guys still might be around here. You know, they might be lurking around the corner. Man, I'm going to get out of here. I don't want to be in the same condition as this guy. I mean, there's a risk to take. And, you know, he's afraid of something that happened to me. Let's have, we have to be a little sensitive to these people when they have this not being helped. And, you know, maybe they didn't even have the capacity to help. Maybe they were limited in their resources and they just didn't think. But, you know, I think really they were really not looking at this person as a real precious human being. You know, oftentimes we become, we lose that sense of looking at a person as a human being and not showing compassion or pity and love and showing mercy, because we just lose sight of how precious people are. I know during Hurricane Katrina, remember when it hit New Orleans, and there were people who were stranded on rooftops, and there were people out there in the boat, and they were doing all kinds of things to rescue the people. And my neighbor came over, and he says, you know, my wife and I were so concerned about that down in Katrina. We're so concerned about the pets. So concerned about the pets. And, you know, sometimes we lose sight of human beings and how precious they are in those situations. It just hit me a little odd that he would be so concerned about the pets when there were so many people in need. You know, and Jesus loves us, and he shows identification and sensitivity with us because people are valuable. You know, we would stop and help that guy on the road there, beaten up and left in the ditch, because people are valuable. They're more valuable than anything else in society. You know, people are unique. Human beings are God's crowning act of creation, and people are designed to intrinsically embody God's likeness. They're designed to love and create and rule and relate, to reason, reflect the essence of character, God's character. But because sin entered the world, Jesus knows that sin permeates into all areas of our lives. You know, the spiritual, the physical, the emotional. And the effects of sin distorts our view of mankind, and resulting in not having compassion, not having compassion towards people in need. Well, let's take a look at some determining factors of compassion. You know, there are detriments to compassion. People sometimes are just lack that emotion. They lack that sense of compassion towards other people. But this parable demonstrates that compassion should characterize the life of a Christian. You know, the major lesson is that Christians must respond compassionately to human need. And that's what that Sunday school class did. That's what my friend John did, you know. He responded to that, those little kids in that orphanage in those wheelchairs. He responded to a human need. You know, Christians must respond compassionately to human needs, not allowing their hearts to harden like the priest or the Levite when they saw that person on the ditch. You know, the parable demonstrates that we should serve a compassionate God. Jesus Christ is a compassionate person. It's one of the essential marks of the Christian faith. And, you know, the parable teaches us how compassion works. It begins with a cultivation of sensitivity to human need. And whatever the need, the material, the spiritual, you know, the health needs, the compassionate Christian is committed to using his resources to meet these needs. Because we saw the parable there, that Samaritan, he did have resources. He could pay the hotel bill. He could get the guy. He had an animal. The priest or the Levite, they didn't have an animal to put the guy on. Here he is, half dead. He's unconscious. He had to lift him up, put him up on top of that animal, and take him to the hotel. But the priest or the Levite could have waited. Somebody else would have come along. They could have asked for help. They could have worked out some kind of a situation of communicating the danger. But they didn't. They didn't. But the Levite showed love and compassion, and he used his resources. He was moved to action. He used the resources he had. And when Christ is enthroned in the hearts of his people, the appeal to be compassionate toward one another is both natural and practical, because being compassionate frees our heart and it changes our lives. When we're compassionate to other people, it gets us away from being self-centered, and it frees our heart and it makes us look at the people in need. You know, and being compassionate connects us with others. You know, it breaks down the social and the racial and the economic barriers, because we reach out and touch that person's life. You know, the Samaritan, they would say, that of all people, the Samaritan stopped and helped this Jewish person. The Samaritan reached out and showed compassion. You know, it connects us with other people. When we see people in need, you know, it frees our heart and it changes our lives, and it connects us with other people, others in need. You know, and being compassionate helps us invest in what matters. You know, we're so thankful that you support Shepherds. We're so thankful that you've over the years been faithful in supporting us, because being compassionate helps us invest in what matters. Investing not only our money, but also our time and our talents in helping people with intellectual disabilities. You know, we want to encourage you as a church family to be compassionate to others. You know, being compassionate in our day. You know, it reminds me of a friend, Lucia Malucci. Lucia Malucci was a friend of ours that we got to know, and she came from Chile. She was recruited by, a guy went down to Chile and recruited about 15 girls. They came up, promised them a nice little house, some nice clothes, and a job. Well, the job was to work in one of the gentlemen's clubs. One of the clubs you see out here on the peripheral, you drive around on the edge in 290, driving around, you'll see the little advertisements, the gentlemen's club. And Lucy was recruited, and she came, and she got her nice clothes, worked in there, she's good looking, worked in the club, one of the dancers. And, it's not a real good life. She lived in this apartment complex, and there was one of our friends who was a believer, and he'd see Lucy come and go, and soon Lucy gets married to a guy, sort of a mafioso type fella, but it isn't a good life. It's sort of a difficult life, even though she has nice clothes and good looking, and married to this guy. But my friend and our friend, started to think about Lucy and thinking Lucia's, or we always call her Lucy, but, just thinking about maybe we should, she's talking to her husband, said maybe we should just invite her up and get to know her and just show a little love and compassion towards her, even though she works in the club and she's a dancer and all that, and she doesn't speak English real well. And so they did. One day they got up, enough nerve, go down and invite her to come up and just come to the house and have tea with her. And so Lucy would later say, they're the first people outside of just the environment that she was in, were the first people who reached out and touched her life and asked her just to come up and be a part. So they did. They started to get a little friendship with her. And, through that friendship, she came to know the Lord, and her life was changed, the most drastic change you could see in a life, because in the club she started drinking hard, and all the difficulties they'd be faced in life, and all the, just being manipulated and used and abused, and just the whole world that she was in. And through that little act of compassion, of reaching out and asking her to be a part of their life and sharing, she came to know the Lord, and her life has changed drastically. And Lucy, we could always count on her. When one of the ladies was sick, she was always the first at the hospital. She was always so thankful that somebody reached out to her. Somebody reached out and shared the gospel with her. And so we're going to challenge you today just to think of those people on the highway of life who are stuck in the ditch, who are stripped of all their self-respect, who lack, who lack respect and self-respect, and who are out there in our society today. There are a ton of them, that we might reach out and show love and compassion, because Jesus shows love and compassion to people in need. We should reach out and touch them. It frees our lives. It changes our lives. It helps us to be connected with people that we wouldn't normally be connected with. But through the grace of the Lord Jesus, people like Lucia Malucci's life was changed forever, became a real dedicated Christian. And the question Jesus points out in verse 36 is, and he says, which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto them that fell upon the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Jesus said, go and do likewise. The question Jesus points out is not, who is my neighbor? The question Jesus is saying is, how can I be a neighbor? How can I be a neighbor to others? How can I show love and compassion and reach out and touch those lives in need? So we just want to close with a little thank you video of the shepherds to the church. Thank you for your support. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming this morning. And we're thankful for your support to the ministry.